This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Tuesday night, that makes it Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We look at all sorts of things internationally for the LGBT community, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Damien is here with me tonight.
Hello.
My name is Matt. A big thank you to Ruby and Ian for the Informer and Richard with us each and every week for the news. Now, in Australia right now, the rainbow flag just seems to be everywhere as a part of our fight for marriage equality. In Egypt, however, it's an entirely different story. In an act of support for an openly gay singer, some members of the crowd at a concert waved rainbow flags, which caught the attention of local media, and it has become a catalyst for the latest crackdown on Egypt's LGBT community.
What are the allegations of torture and entrapment coming out of Egypt?
How is the media being used as a weapon against the LGBT community?
Why has the international response to date been so muted? Taking us inside Egypt, where the media is being denied access, tonight we speak with Nila Ghoshal, covering the Middle East and North Africa for Human Rights Watch.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the Worldwide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
I want new colours.
Fading, looking me now, I'm turning slowly into a silent shadow, trying to find a way to the light, just grasping, holding on to nothing, and I want new colors, I got no need for that.
Janet Leon with New Colours. All themed songs around colour tonight because it was the rainbow flag that has caused the latest crackdown against Egypt's LGBTI community. Hey, we've got a new member come on board. Welcome aboard, Scott from Benalla. Love having you with us. You can take out membership at joy.org.au. Keep us on air. One of only three LGBT radio stations around the world. joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And we're in Egypt tonight. Now, Egypt has a very long recorded history of homosexuality. So it dates back to ancient Egypt.
It's not invented. It's not a Western freaking construct, Western thing, people.
The best known, I guess, most public case was two high-ranking officials under Pharaoh Nusseri. That's the 5th dynasty around 2,500 BC.
BC.
And basically they had families and children of their own and wives, and they... When they died, their families decided to bury them together in the same tomb. And in the tomb itself, when that was uncovered, they found paintings that depicted both of the men embracing each other and touching their faces nose to nose, which was a way of symbolising kissing.
It's like an Eskimo kiss.
Togetherness, yeah. So it's been around a long, long time. Of course, jettison that forward to, I guess, our recent times. Under the Hosni Mubarak government, the Egyptian government, they didn't support LGBT rights in any way. That would be fairly strong to say. This is sort of late 90s, early 2000s. But they had a lot of international pressure on them and they really eased off on their persecution of LGBT rights. So there was this period about 2010 to 2013 where LGBT rights were almost celebrated. So, or LGBT people were almost able to celebrate their rights. They had to do it very gently.
And there was nothing in the criminal code that actually made it illegal. It was a bit...
Well, it wasn't enforced.
It was... Right.
It wasn't enforced. They still had these obscure laws around debauchery. So, they used a whole range of laws to persecute gay people if they wanted. That all changed when the Mubarak government... ended and the current government came in, and there has really been quite a number of attacks.
They've been making up for lost time.
They have indeed. In 2014, 8 men were arrested and sentenced to 3 years in prison for charges of spreading indecent images.
Following the circulation of a video of a gay marriage ceremony.
Yeah. 26 men were arrested in a bathhouse, after a TV presenter collaborated with the Egyptian police.
But they were acquitted.
They were acquitted. That was definitely good news. And then the story we're talking about tonight, which has come out of this rock concert. Now, recognition of same-sex relationships, it's definitely defined as a man and a woman
in Egypt.
That
sounds familiar.
It does. We're in the same boat as Egypt, isn't that exciting?
Great. Yes.
reports, though, do suggest that if anybody tried to put forward a same-sex marriage, they could be attacked on any number of levels within the law. There have been talks about laws around Satanism, prostitution, public immorality. So they'll sort of take any piece of law they can
and just wedge it in
to lock it in.
Now, where we do actually differ markedly from Egypt in Australia, we hope, and we will soon see, is in that of public opinion. In 2013, a Pew Research Center survey found that 95% of Egyptians believe that homosexuality should not be accepted by society.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where the only way is up, isn't it?
Well,
exploring. There has been this issue of attacks against the LGBT community has really hotted up over the last 2 weeks, and we are going to explore that with our guest tonight.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
A police crackdown on LGBT people and those seen as LGBT appears to have been triggered by a performance by the Lebanese band Mashara Leila, where several concert goers, in their excitement, raised rainbow flags in support of the group's openly gay lead singer, Hamed Sino. Our guest, Nila Ghoshal, is on the ground in the Middle East for Human Rights Watch and spoke to us just a few hours ago to provide us an update on what has been happening.
Well, on September 22nd, there was a concert performed by the Lebanese band Mashru Leila. This is a band whose lead singer is openly gay. He's one of the few openly gay performers in the Middle East and North Africa. And so at previous concerts in Lebanon, for instance, audiences have waved rainbow flags to show their support for the group, for the fact that the singer is out, and their pride and solidarity with the LGBT community. So in Cairo, you know, I think some young people who were attending the concert felt the same. They felt that it was a moment to make a statement that LGBT people should be respected in Egypt and that their rights should be respected. And unfortunately, of course, we've seen the exact opposite. So after a brief moment of euphoria in the LGBT community, with a lot of activists feeling like, wow, you know, we've made ourselves visible. We've showed that LGBT pride is okay in Egypt. They have now been confronted with this massive crackdown, which is one of the biggest crackdowns that we know of in the history of modern Egypt. At least 43 people have been arrested, but some organizations are reporting several dozen more. Police rounding people up at random, essentially, for looking gay, for being suspected of being gay. And many of those people have been accused of being involved in this rainbow flag incident, even though they were not even at the concert. They're just ordinary people who, you know, who've fallen into this really unfortunate roundup. So some people have been prosecuted. They've been charged with debauchery and incitement to debauchery, as if waving a rainbow flag is going to incite people to commit acts of debauchery. And some people have been convicted and sentenced to up to 6 years in prison. A couple of people have been acquitted, which is encouraging. It's clear that that some courts are finding that there's no evidence against these people, but the arrests continue. Just the other day, an administrator of a Facebook page that supported LGBT rights was arrested. So we're really concerned about this crackdown and what it means for people who are LGBT in Egypt.
Hearing there from Nila Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch, updating us on the latest crackdown on Egypt's LGBT community.
And coming up, we find out how both social media and mainstream media are being used in this attack. This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Salut tous mes belles gays et mes beaux les os. C'est Matthew Mitchum et vous écoutez à Joy 94.9.
People notice about you, your curves, your outfit from DJs, the iPhone 7 you're checking out all the apps on. Statistics tell us that people actually notice your smile. It's the way you grab someone's attention and keep it. Joy sponsors Hampstead Dental can help you improve your smile, and who knows where that may lead. Hampstead Dental are caring dentists that you can trust. hampsteaddental.com.au. That's hampsteaddental.com.au. Joy sponsor.
The first signs of summer are starting to appear, and that means one thing. Midsummer Carnival is closer than you think. If you're part of a community group or you're a local business owner, a Midsummer Carnival stall is a great way to expose your brand to an estimated crowd of over 100,000 people at Melbourne's Alexandra Gardens. With live music, DJs and the super cute dog show, Carnival overflows with Melbourne's vibrant queer and ally community. Want to join us on the grassy lawns? Then register by Monday the 30th of October 2017 online at midsummer.org.au. Joy is proud to share this community announcement for Midsummer.
Hello everybody, my name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
I guess this is who I am. I'll keep my life in my own hands. 'Cause who am I to right you wrong with all you've said? All I've done, even the bluest skies become the blackest nights, for the reddest hearts sometimes, sometimes. But what makes you think you can
your lies, color your heart. If I could leave a watermark, I'd paint my smile, light up the dark. Even the bluest skies become the blackest nights. Not all translates to white, but what?
You'd have to know that voice, the gorgeous Tina Arena with her song Colours. That's our theme for songs tonight, the colours of the rainbow, after the rainbow flag triggered something akin to an attack on the LGBT community in Egypt in the past couple of weeks. We've got a message in on 0427JOY949. Thanks, Gurney. I hope I've got that right. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm just listening to Joy at the moment. Woohoo, we love that. I'm Brazilian, however, I've been in Australia for 29 years. Brazilian soap operas deal with only very few social issues. The reason they are so popular is due to the high number of illiteracy. Most of the time it reinforces the caste society which rules Brazil, as well as the discrimination and racism which is still rampant in Brazil and South America. Thank you for that insight. It is really good to get that personal
insight.
The
flip side of the coin.
Yeah.
But I think that's
it is kind of, in one way, I think it's good that there is exposure, and through exposure that might sort of bring some changes. But
the exposure was positive from what we can tell. It was, you know, transgender people were being cast in a positive light. They weren't sort of...
It wasn't an attack.
It wasn't an attack, and they weren't like the butt of the plot. It was, And I guess it was very well received by the transgender community in Brazil. So that's got to be a plus, despite all the other issues that are going on.
Indeed. You can send us your messages, 0427JOY949, or on air at joy.org.au.
Tonight we've been speaking to Nila Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch in Egypt, where security forces have subjected at least 6 of the people detained to forced anal examinations in order to apparently find evidence of same-sex sexual behaviour. While being deemed as torture on the international stage, we asked Nila how widespread this appeared to be.
Yes. So it has been reported by their lawyers that at least 5 of them have been forced to undergo forced anal exams. This is something that in Egypt is done fairly systematically to anybody who's arrested on suspicion of homosexuality. They're taken before the Forensic Medicine Authority, which is a wing of the Ministry of Justice. And they're subjected to these horrific exams. I've interviewed a few people who have undergone the exams who have described essentially being forced to get on their hands and knees on a table in a medical consultation room, and a doctor either visually examines and essentially touches their buttocks, or at times inserts a finger or various objects inside to attempt to determine whether the person has engaged in same-sex relations. It's a completely unscientific test. It has no medical basis. It can't prove anything. And our sense is that in Egypt, it's done more to humiliate people than to actually collect evidence for these cases. And it has been labeled as a form of torture by the UN Committee Against Torture, which has called on Egypt to stop doing this. But unfortunately, the Egyptian authorities have not listened.
There certainly seems to be also an attempt to send the LGBT community underground. We're also reading about entrapment of particularly gay men using dating apps.
Yeah, that's true. The Egyptian police are very active on the gay dating app scene. They seem to devote an inordinate amount of resources to setting up fake profiles and making dates with men who are looking for dates with other men, and then entrapping them. So right now people are really scared. They're getting off those dating apps. They're taking down their Facebook pages. And they are, as you said, essentially going underground.
Of concern to us in particular, being a media outlet, is that Egypt's Supreme Council for Media Regulation has issued a statement banning basically any positive exposure of LGBT issues. So you can report on it if a person shows repentance or if you refer to homosexuality as being a shameful disease. This is really quite alarming in trying to prevent stories getting out, really.
It's very alarming, and it fits into a broader pattern of crackdown on free speech in Egypt, crackdown on any speech that contradicts the messages that are being put out by the regime. So as you said, this order from the Supreme Council on Media Regulation essentially portrays homosexuality as an evil. It describes it as a disease and as a great eternal evil that must be stopped. And it says that that's the role of media outlets, and that no homosexual can appear on any program unless they are repenting. Now, of course, in a context like Egypt, where there's a great deal of social conservatism, what activists need is for media to be an outlet through which LGBT people, both activists and ordinary people, can tell their stories and can have their voices heard. There is no way to get social change on an issue, to get the opinion of the general public to change, when they're not exposed to views on all sides and to the stories of affected people themselves. So this is a very problematic order. It obviously also completely violates Egypt's international obligations with regard to the right to freedom of expression. And as I said, it's part of a broader pattern. Egypt earlier this year shut down a large number of websites that expressed opinions that went contrary to the government's policy on a wide range of issues. So basically, the government has persisted in trying to prevent Egyptians from hearing views that it finds threatening in any way.
This seems to have really ramped up. I mean, whilst Egypt has never been supportive of LGBT issues, there seemed to be a lot more positivity 3 or 4 years ago under the previous regime. If not positivity, more acceptance, I would perhaps say. Whereas the current regime is very forthrightly and visibly anti-gay.
Yes, that's true. And even under the previous government, under Mubarak, there was a period of crackdown, a very intense crackdown on LGBT communities starting around 2001. But the government came under international pressure, and those arrests did drop off. So in the last years of the Mubarak regime, as you said, it was not necessarily a country that by any stretch of the imagination was pro-LGBT in its policy, but people were free to live their lives quietly and even to do, some forms of activism without facing the wrath of the regime. And what happened was, with the January 2011 revolution, all kinds of issues came into public discussion. People were challenging views about gender, about sexuality. LGBT activists were out in the street protesting with other activists. And there was a real sense that there was space for the movement to grow. And when Al-Sisi came into power in 2014, he essentially completely turned off the taps on any kind of revolutionary organizing, as well as on expression about gender and sexuality more generally. So starting in late 2013, we saw a crackdown on LGBT people that really, you know, we hadn't seen since around 2001, 2002 in Egypt. Hundreds of people have been arrested, at least 300 between 2013 and the present, and probably more. This police entrapment that we discussed earlier really, you know, took on massive proportions. And what we're seeing now is kind of a spike in what has really been a steady and relentless harassment of LGBT people since 2013, 2014. And this is in part because the government wants to prove its conservative credentials. It's very threatened by the existence of the Muslim Brotherhood, which it has banned, you know, and completely driven underground. But it is, it feels threatened by more conservative strains of Islam within society. And so LGBT people have essentially become a political pawn. They've been thrown under the bus completely so that the government can prove that it doesn't support, you know, certain forms of expression and identity.
It's like so many other countries too. You mentioned there the international community and its ability to apply pressure. Have you seen any response from the international community out of this latest attack, particularly anything from countries, neighbouring countries in the Middle East?
We wouldn't really expect to see much of a reaction, unfortunately, from neighboring countries in the Middle East. Almost all of the countries in the region also criminalize same-sex conduct, although Egypt, I would say, is by far the worst in terms of its record of actual arrests, mistreatment, and torture of LGBT people. But the other countries in the region have been relatively quiet, and unfortunately, we've also seen a relative silence from Western capitals. This is a moment where activists are asking the entire international community to speak out. There are times when quiet diplomacy is the most effective way to deal with human rights abuses, but there's a strong feeling from LGBT people within Egypt that they need to see public support. And so there is a call for governments from around the world to send a very strong message to Egypt that this kind of human rights abuse is intolerable, that arbitrary arrests on any basis, including on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity, are a severe violation of human rights, and also that the kind of restrictions on freedom of expression that the Egyptian government is supporting, both in terms of shutting down speech about LGBT rights, but also in terms of shutting down other speech that challenges government policy, is really unacceptable. So, you know, we're kind of waiting for those messages to come.
That's Nila Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch in the Middle East. One of those, she was talking there about the use of apps and things. It's not just apps. There's also been police using their powers to either shut down or intimidate any venue that, again, was perceived to have LGBT people visit it. So, you know,
sounds like they've
a gayish
just taken
bar.
The page right out of the Russian copybook.
It is a bit, and they'd sort of, you know, they'd use the liquor law violation to shut it down, or they'd, you know, apply this sort of pressure. So really trying to get rid of any sort of visibility for the LGBT community in Egypt. We've got a bit more coming up, particularly about that international role and the international, I guess, responsibility in this case. This is World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Hussein Al-Azadeh covering the Middle East for the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission on the World Wide Wave.
The grinning bucket, white greens.
Wind by Max. And you're listening to the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And 317's just messaged in, gorgeous song. I concur.
We agree.
We've got all sorts of music around the theme of colours and rainbow tonight, where the rainbow flag has caused a crackdown against the LGBT community in Egypt. 317 also says that Victorian police boss Graham Ashton has come out publicly in support of marriage equality, which is a really good public showing of support. Enjoying the show. Thanks, 317. Your message is 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Back to Egypt, which has joined an ominous collection of countries which with repressive and sometimes violent attacks on their own LGBT community, such as Chechnya and Azerbaijan. We asked Nila if the decreased interest in LGBT rights from the USA under President Trump is allowing more countries to undertake these attacks without fear of international scrutiny.
You know, it's something that one can certainly speculate about, and I don't want to speculate too much because it's difficult to draw a clear causal relationship between those two things. But I think that governments around the world, I mean, it's pretty clear that 2017 has been a bad year so far for LGBT rights. And I think that repressive governments around the world are realizing that they are not likely to face significant pressure from the Trump government if they do crack down on LGBT rights. And honestly, that applies to human rights across the board. Now, it was somewhat encouraging in Egypt that the Trump government did withhold a certain amount of funding several months ago that they've made conditional on human rights improvements, although they didn't explicitly mention LGBT rights when they did send that message to Egypt that some of that funding was going to be made conditional on improvements in the human rights situation. That was rather surprising and unusual. But overall, it doesn't look like the Trump government is going to make defending human rights for LGBT people worldwide a priority. And so I do think that governments are watching very carefully to see what they can get away with.
Nila Ghoshal, covering the Middle East and North Africa for Human Rights Watch. Thanks for bringing this story, this issue to our attention and for joining us here on World Wide Wave.
Thank you.
It is interesting, this story didn't get out of Egypt for about a week, and now through the efforts of people like Human Rights Watch, it's starting to get a little bit of cut through. But that silence from the Western world on this issue, normally when there is this sort of crackdown, at least you get some of those very LGBT supportive countries in Europe that would be speaking up, you know, Netherlands and some of the Scandinavian countries who would be straight out there in front and saying, you know,
condemning and
that's right. And under President Obama, that was certainly happening from America's point of view as well. Interesting that there is so much more of a struggle. And that's where that question about, you know, what's the Trump influence on this? Are we overstating that, or is it that it's just not as high on the agenda anymore on the international stage, therefore countries think they can get away with more?
Well, you know, there's just other things going on, and there's always the fight for the spotlight, and unfortunately there's always bad news going around, so it depends who's the baddest.
Indeed. So thanks to Human Rights Watch for bringing that story to us tonight. You're on World Wide Wave.
This is Tiseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
I just want to give a shout out to the Australian LGBTIQ Multicultural Council. This is a group that works with, I guess, multicultural groups in the LGBTI space. They've got an event coming up, which is really interesting. It's called Proud to Be Me, which is a short documentary and explores the lives of four LGBT individuals in Indonesia.
Where sexuality remains a taboo topic.
Indeed, and there's this rise of religious conservatism and again, attacks against the LGBT community at the moment. But these four brave people have shared their story of navigating and accepting their sexuality within this environment. So there's going to be the showing of the films plus a speaker panel. It's Tuesday the 31st of October. We can't get there, unfortunately, because that's the night we're on air. But it's really would be worth going along. So it's at the Treasury Theatre, 1 MacArthur Street, Melbourne. It's a free event, but you do need to RSVP. The way to do that, you can go to Australian GLBTIQ Multicultural Council on Facebook. That's AGMC. And we have also posted that on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, W3Joy for World Wide Wave, Like us, we post news stories and events of international interest right throughout the week with our wandering correspondent in America finding lots of stories for us as well. That kind of winds us up for Egypt. A big thank you, as we said, to Neela Ghoshal. She works right across Middle East and North Africa, which is a challenging environment with Human Rights Watch. You can find out more about the great work that they do at hrw.org.
Thanks to our messages tonight from our listeners. We love hearing from you from Brazil, and our regular 317. We love your regular input too.
And people on Facebook, Baylor, Liz, Joe, William, Maurizio, who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. Our podcaster, Alex, as well. Now, stick around. Urban Dreaming is coming up with Surami and Maddie with stories of civilian resilience and survival, connecting our communities and culture and spirituality. And then right through the night, really, Triple Bypass at 9, Jam Sessions at 10, Been There, Done That at 12, sorry, 11, and Magic Portals at 12. We'll probably get some more colour-inspired music to take us out, shall we?
Yes, we can fit one more in. We'll be hearing from Sia with Rainbow.
Love it. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
I know you, you're a special one. Some see crazy where I see love. You fall so low, but soar so high. Big dreamer, shoot for open sky. So much life in those open eyes. So much depth, you look for the light. But when your wounds open, you will cry. You'll cry.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.